So thank you for choosing to be here today. Is anybody else surprised it's November already? Yes. You wake up and it's like, really? And I was talking to my dad and to my sister this morning, and of course they're in the part of the country that changes their clocks. I said, so did you guys get to sleep in? No. We woke up at the same time. And I thought, man, how weird is that? So suddenly we're surrounded by pumpkin spice everything. Looking forward to mint. And when pretending to wear long sleeve shirts. So I was trying to make a connection as I was driving in this morning between, I spent the last 8 weeks talking about law. And now we're moving into gratitude. So I was looking this morning for a bridge between law and gratitude. And the only thing that came up for me to think about is the idea of being annoyed. That what on earth is that? And what that is, it's very odd, but whatever. What that is if, I mean, law does what we tell it, right? That's how law works. And there are natural consequences. If I do X, then Y will happen. That's how law works. It doesn't care. It doesn't like you. It doesn't dislike you. It just does. So if I persist in doing something that I know doesn't work, here's the bridge, right? I get annoyed. But I am choosing to do something that doesn't work. So I am actuating the law to prove to me, to myself, that this doesn't work. Can I find gratitude in the recognition of that? Boy, that's a beast. And today's talk title is All Things Contribute. So even those things that I repeatedly do that I know that don't work, that make me annoyed, contribute to my growth, contribute to my expansion, if I bother to pay attention. And therein is the sticky place, right? Because we have to decide to pay attention to our lives and notice what we're doing and what our reactions are to our experience. So yeah, there's that. So if, by chance, you find yourself being annoyed at something that you've tried before and you're thinking, well, maybe this time it will work, and it doesn't, check in and see what's really going on for you. Because all things do contribute to our growth, to our expansion, to our ability to live the life of our choosing if we're awake enough to see them. If we're not awake enough to see them, well, you know, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But if we are awake enough to see them, all things contribute. So, hopefully the greeters gave you a pen when you walked in today if you didn't have one. Does anybody need one? So Donna, Jeff, do you have any more? Because there's a couple of folks with hands up. So we're gonna, I mean, we know about this gratitude thing, right? We've all made gratitude lists. We've done this dozens of times. Does anybody presently keep a gratitude journal? A couple of hands go up, good. It's a thing that works when you work it, right? And I'm an intermittent gratitude journal person myself. I'll do it for a while and then I'll forget or get bored with it or have trouble thinking of things to be grateful for. Sorry, I'm human. So what I want you to do is take that pen or pencil that you got, or the one that you had in your bag or pocket, and write down 8 things right now, that you feel grateful for. You've got a whole whopping minute to do it. I'll look at the clock and keep time. Jeff has any more pens if people need them. Looks like we're good, Jeff. Thanks. 8 things that you're grateful for. Everybody got at least 8? Find a neighbor. If you don't know their name, ask. This is like audience participation. Find a neighbor. If you don't know their name, ask. Share the top 3 things on your list. You have 20 seconds. And then they will have 20 seconds to share theirs with you. Okay, if you haven't swapped, go ahead and swap and let the other person talk. So how did it feel to share gratitudes? I love it when people are still talking. That means it's working. How does it feel? How does it feel to share gratitudes? Check in with your own body experience. Notice what's going on for you within yourself. What's the inner dialogue? What's the story that's spinning between your ears about this practice that we just did? Is it, oh, wow, that was really cool, or wow, they had better gratitudes than me? Wow, my gratitudes were boring. The point is paying attention to the inner dialogue, because that's where the action really is. What's going on between your own ears is where the real action is happening. It's not something outside of you. It's not something out there. It's the business inside your own head, because that's all we have to work with. That's our point of connection with the all that is, with that divine spirit I talked about earlier. And when we pay attention to that, then we have a sense of what's really true for us. Paying attention to what's going on in our own heads is probably the hardest thing to be consistent with. From the foundations class, there's 1 week when the class is supposed to like notice their own inner dialogue for the whole week. And whether it's generally positive or whether it's generally negative, they don't normally make it a whole week. Normally they make it about a day and a half. It's like, I can't believe I'm that nasty to myself. That's typical, because we are harder on ourselves in our minds than we are what comes out of our mouths. And so that connection, that conversation in our heads is where we have to do the most of our work. Because until that's clear, nothing else on the outside is going to be either. So gratitude lists are fabulous. And I also want you to look at the list that you wrote and think about what you heard when your partner spoke to you. Were all of your gratitudes reactive? Were you grateful for something outside of you? Were you grateful that the guy who made your coffee did it right this morning? Were you grateful for, I don't know, being able to wear sleeves today? Were you grateful that there was somebody to do this for you or to do that for you or to do this other thing for you? Were your gratitudes reactive? Or were they something deeper? When we get to the place where we can be with an attitude of gratitude, where we are acting and believing and thinking from that space of the point of view is gratitude, then we have begun to change our inner dialogue, which is what I'm after this whole month. In Melody Beattie's book, Codependent No More, she writes, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, and a stranger into a friend." I came across a couple of really interesting, that's a good word for it, pieces of information when I was working on today's talk. One was by a fellow named Jeremy David Engels. And he made, I'm not entirely sure I agree with him, but I think he might be right. And that is, the traditional use of the word gratitude and thanksgiving is tied to indebtedness, a feeling of lack. I don't have, and I am grateful that so-and-so gave to me. Man, that's a beast. So if look at your list. Is your gratitude that you wrote down without knowing any of this was coming, because you couldn't, is your gratitude that you wrote down because you were feeling deficient in some way? And you're grateful that somebody gave you something you didn't feel like you had already? Go back to Melody Beattie's quote. Denial to acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity, a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Those are already things that are already present. It's how we choose to see them. Right? I mean, even the traditional Thanksgiving holiday that's coming up later this month is about being grateful for the abundance of the harvest that has already been brought in from the fields and has already been stored for the winter. That's, I didn't have enough to survive winter, and now I do, yay. Wow. So what we're talking about is, can we get to a place of living in gratitude for life as it shows up and be able to see that feast in the meal, to be able to see that friend in the stranger without having to have them do something unique and special for us to give us a boost. So Engels' point of view is that we would benefit if we could operate from a place of gratefulness, or gratitude as thanksgiving, as a way of living and a way of perceiving our entire lives. If we choose to accept this challenge, it will not self-destruct in 15 seconds. It is a goal for most of us to be grateful for life as we experience it, or to be able to spin it in such a way that we can feel gratitude for it, rather than have to have something change for us to feel grateful. So in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, a 2,000-year-old book of short sayings or aphorisms that are part of Hindu philosophy, Indian philosophy, and Hindu mysticism, one of the sutras has been translated as, "Consciousness settles when one radiates friendliness, compassion, delight, and equanimity toward all things, whether pleasant or painful, good or bad." When we can find some, I want to use the word satisfaction, but that's not quite big enough, not quite juicy enough. When we can find okayness or better in whatever life has presented us with. And then Dr. Holmes from The Science of Mind, page 497, "An attitude of gratitude is most salutary and bespeaks the realization that we are now in heaven." Now in heaven. Not later, not someday, not when, but now. So take your pen. This is quick. Write down for you in this moment what percentage of time you realize you live in heaven right now. Don't like overthink it. Just what percentage of time right now you think yourself as living in heaven? Right now. In heaven. Dr. Holmes, "An attitude of gratitude is most salutary and bespeaks the realization that we are now in heaven." What percentage of your time now do you consciously live in heaven? It isn't a trick question. You're not going to have to share. Just write it down, because it's for your information. It's a frame of reference for you. Do I recognize my life as inherently good, inherently supporting, inherently for me? Or do I see it as something that's somehow a little deficient? Whatever you get's fine. And I'm not going to make you share, okay? So a couple of you have heard this story. I was driving across town the other day and minding my own sweet business, singing probably to the radio. And, you know, we have these crosswalks where you're supposed to stop if there's somebody there wanting to cross. Well, there was a person on a bicycle, and they got off their bicycle to walk their bicycle across the street like they're supposed to, right? This is really good. So the car in front of me stops, and I'm in a four-lane road. Person in front of me stops, so I stop, and the person in the next lane over, who happens to be driving a great big huge Escalade, they stop. We're all stopped. The girl on the bicycle starts walking her bike across the road, and then there's the sound of screeching and the smell of tires and brakes, and some person was not paying attention and mashed his car into the back of the Escalade. Fortunately, the person in the Escalade had their foot on the brake. Yay. So the bicyclist person didn't get run over. Yay. Was the guy in the car who was swearing very loudly and saying lots of unprintable words, was he living in heaven now? Oh no. Was the girl on the bike with the bike? Maybe. Was the person in the Escalade? Kinda. They were glad they didn't run over the person in the bike. They weren't happy that they got their car smashed. Well, the Escalade didn't have much damage. The poor fool who wasn't paying attention, he'll have a new car soon. But he was fine. I mean, assuming all the vocalizations meant what they sounded like they meant. So we get to decide how we see our lives. Now, that man in the car who smashed his car into the back of the big car, was he in heaven then? No. Is there a chance he might be grateful later that he didn't kill a bicyclist? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Not mine to say. But we get to decide how we see the events of our lives. From Dr. Holmes, from page 491 of The Science of Mind. We should not despise apparent failures, these temporary chagrins of life, for they are salutary, leading the soul to the inner Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. When the experience is complete, the lesson will be learned, and we shall enter a paradise of contentment. For me, the key words in that sentence are, when the experience is complete. Because in the moment of that car accident, the experience was not complete. So everybody was where they were, right? But when the experience is complete, there's a little bit of time for reflection, there's consideration, there's, wow, that could have been very different, or I could have responded differently. We never have a full picture. I won't say never. We seldom have a full picture because we don't know the rest of the story. Because we can't know it. It's not in our ability to see it. So how do we find that place of living in the space of saying, there must be good here somewhere. There must be some way this benefits me and others, whatever this happens to be. And it's tough to think, to remember that life is for us. And so our instruction to ourselves is to remember that life is always in process. It's always moving. It's always changing and interacting and shifting. And our job is to see that somehow, whatever the circumstance is for our good. So I have a story that is now a little old, but it still works. I had been, in my past life, in my most previous life, I had been working for this big engineering firm for 20 years. You know, I'd been a good employee, and I'd always gotten good performance appraisals, and I loved what I did. It was so fun. I had a blast. I was doing great work. I got a new boss. We didn't agree on anything. He tried to get me fired. Okay. So I ended up, and it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up having to do some extra charm, I called it charm school, so that I would be considered socially acceptable. And I would be allowed to stay, and I would be allowed to keep working there. And at the time, I thought this was the most stupid and most horrible thing I could imagine. I mean, you know, here I am, I won't say exemplary, but a reasonably good employee, right? And I'd done good work and blah, 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 blah. And so here I am sent to charm school so that I could stay. So I did the charm school, and I was back in good graces. Time passes. I come out to the desert. I fall in love with the desert. I realize I'm moving to the desert. So I go home and I go to my new boss. This is three bosses later. And I say, hey, I need to be laid off so I can move to the desert. And she says, yeah, right. That's not happening. I said, but no, really. I need to be laid off so I can move to the desert. Uh-huh. So time passes, and all kinds of things happen to allow me the opportunity to be laid off and move to the desert. Where was that story complete? Oh yeah, the boss who didn't like me was in charge of human resources. Guess who wasn't standing in my way when it was time for me to leave? When is that story complete? When can I find gratitude for that situation? If I'm of the mindset that says all things work together for my good, whether I like them or not, then I can even be grateful for the yucky boss who tried to get me fired, because somehow this is for my good. Man, that's hard. And that's what we're called to do, because all things contribute to our growth. All things include the ugly ones, include the uncomfortable ones, include the I can't believe this is happening to me ones. Because all things. So when you find yourself in a sticky spot that you don't like at all, to be able to say, okay, somehow this is good for me. Not good in the way that the, you know, switch was when I was young, or the belt. But somehow this is good for me. This serves my higher purpose. That's what this talk is about today. How do we remember and recognize that all things contribute to our good? So now, I want you to think about your life. Think about the yucky things that have happened to you. Think about those unpleasant things that you didn't enjoy even remotely. Do you have enough perspective on any of them to be able to see how they served your higher, greater good? Pick up your pen. This is not so easy as the gratitude list, right? But every one of us has had stuff happen in our lives that was rather unpleasant, at least. How can you see? Has enough time passed that you can actually see the bigger picture and see how those difficult things served your growth, your development, your expansion, your becoming more of who you were capable of becoming? Write down, you don't necessarily need to describe the event, but write down the learning. What did you get from that moved you to a new level, that moved you to a new space, that helped you perhaps to be able to see and remember gratitude in all things? I'll be quiet now so you can write. Actually, I won't be. It could be an illness. It could be a job loss. It could be a difficult work situation or an opportunity not had. It could have been a breakup of a relationship or a death of somebody. And then a quote from one of my favorite movies of all time, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. The kid, his name is Sonny. Everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. Now I'll be quiet. So write down two words about your difficult thing and then a sentence about what it gave you that supported your larger life. Because that's really the point. All things contribute to your good. even the yucky ones. Is there anybody who hasn't been able to think of something? I didn't think so. Good. Grab a partner. You don't have to share the bad stuff. Share the lesson. Share the growth. Share the expansive thing that happened to you because of. Grab a partner. 20 seconds is all you've got to talk, right? Okay, if the second person hasn't started talking yet, it's their turn. So check in with yourself. Check in with that interior dialogue. Check in with how you feel about the story you've told, the truth you've revealed, what you've become more aware of. Compare how you feel when you recognize this gratitude. Compare that with the first one you shared. Are they different? They may not be. They may be exactly the same. But if they're different, notice that. Because one is actually a recognition of how you grew because of some life experience you had. And being able to find gratitude for how we grow, which is usually by icky things. Nobody grows because it's fun. Well, very few people really do. Usually it's toil and trouble and yucky. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to how you experience that story in your interior life. How you tell yourself the story. It's not the so-and-so did me wrong. It's, well, yeah, that happened, and I became better because of it. I became bigger, stronger, more who I am. I became my true more of my true self because of this experience that I had. There's a huge, deep, and profound gratitude in that. And I want you to carry that feeling with you, because that's the thing. Bad stuff happens. What we do about it is what matters. What we do with it, how we make use of it, is what really gives us the ability to become more of what we have come here to be. So I want to close with two short pieces. And those of you who attended the gratitude series last year may remember these or not. One is a poem by Rabindranath Tagore. Most people don't bother to try to say his first name. It's Tagore. I lived on the shady side of the road and watched my neighbor's gardens all across the way, reveling in the sunshine. I felt I was poor, and from door to door went with my hunger. The more they gave me from their careless abundance, the more I became aware of my beggar's bowl. Till one morning, I awoke from my sleep at the sudden opening of my door, and you came asking me for alms. In despair, I broke open the lid of my chest and was startled to find my own wealth. And then a short piece by Ruth Gendler from her Book of Qualities. It's called Joy. Joy drinks pure water. She has sat with the dying and attended many births. She denies nothing. She is in love with life, all of it, the sun and the rain and the rainbow. She rides horses at Half Moon Bay under the October moon. She climbs mountains. She sings in the hills. She jumps from hot springs into the cold stream without hesitation. Although joy is spontaneous, she is immensely patient. She does not need to rush. She knows that there are obstacles on every path and that every moment is the perfect moment. She is not concerned with success or failure or how to make things permanent. At times, joy is elusive. She seems to disappear even as we approach her. I see her standing on a ridge covered with oak trees, and suddenly the distance between us feels enormous. I am overwhelmed and wonder if the effort to reach her is worth it. Yet she waits. Her desire to walk with us is as great as our longing to accompany her. We get to choose joy. We get to choose gratitude. We get to choose to be present to our lives and to see them in the most beneficial and beneficent way we can. We have to be awake to do that. Do that. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So as David makes his way back to the stage, I'm going to speak the community prayer, and I want you to choose one of your gratitudes that you wrote down, maybe the hard one. I suggest the hard one, to focus on, because I want you to hold that lesson, that progress, that experience, that stretching, that expansion in your mind while I speak these affirmative words. So I stand in this space of awareness, recognizing the infinite radiance of life, recognizing the wholeness and allness that lives, breathes, moves, and drives every single heartbeat, fills every lung, provides the wavelengths of light that we each use to see and hear. And I know that underpinning truth is driven by love and activated by this thing we call law. And I know that I get to choose how to be in the world. And I know everyone else does too. This is our collective birthright. This is our opportunity to be and do and have and experience and express and explore life in a bigger frame than we each might have known it before. And the gift of life has already been given. Each of us gets to decide what to do with it. So I celebrate the gift. I celebrate the awareness. I celebrate the opportunity that each one has to choose, to decide, to grow. And I know this thing that is called love lives at the core of every individual. And it delights to meet us on the road. It delights to show up. It delights when we each show up. So I celebrate this awareness. I celebrate this knowing and this chance to play. I celebrate this thing called life. And I accept it. I allow it. And I let it be. And so it is.